If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his own precious word. Brother Humphrey, or Brother Watson, will you lead us, please? I would like for us to think together tonight on that beautiful subject, the love of the Holy Spirit, found in Romans, the 15th chapter and the 30th verse. And I'd like for you to notice those words, will you please? They are the 15th chapter of Romans and the 30th verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Did you notice that? And for the love of the Spirit. The love of the Spirit is what we want to think about for a few moments tonight. The love of the Spirit. Now, we've talked about the love of God and the love of our blessed Savior. And now we find the love of the Spirit. And what else could it be? When you go to stop to think a moment, the Holy Spirit is the very essence and the very substance of the Father and Son. So how else could he be but love? He couldn't do anything else but have love and be filled with love. The Holy Spirit is one that's going to be with us constantly. And he promises there in the reading there in the 23rd verse, if you'll notice, he told us there very plainly that he says and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And so Jesus said, prayed the Father to send the Holy Spirit, and that he says if we will, that they'll both come and make our abode with him, with us, through the Spirit of God. And so how marvelous it is that the Holy Spirit has come into the world. Now, he's always been in the world. We find him in creation even. The Spirit of God hovering over creation. The Spirit of God. But not as he is today. Not as he has been since Jesus left this world. When Jesus left us, he told us right here in the verse that we read a moment ago, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Don't you see? In that 16th verse. And he shall give you another comforter. He's going to abide with us, yea, in us, as he tells us there. The Holy Spirit is going to come into the world. And we're living in the Holy Spirit dispensation today. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit is here in the world, and we're living in under that age today. In other words, God is here, Christ is here, both of them, through the Holy Spirit, in the person of the Holy Spirit. In the very essence and presence of the Holy Spirit, we find them here with us tonight. And so how thankful I am that the Holy Spirit, and we ought to love him, and he does love us. And I want us to see some things, notice some things, will you please? One of the first things that I noticed is, about it, and studying the scripture just for a moment before we get into the message fully, but I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit has been in all of the creation and in the writing of this book. He dictated this book, so to speak. He's dictated this Bible, this word, to the men who wrote it. He dictated it to them. Like a stenographer would today, I believe that, in other words, they wrote as the Holy Spirit led them. Notice what the Bible tells us in regarding that in 2 Peter, the first chapter and the 21st verse. And we'll notice these words here. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Now then, he's very specific about it. The Holy Spirit had a part in it. Man didn't do it. Man didn't just write this book with his own free will like he'd write some other book or write some book. He didn't do that. But he says here, he says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men wrote it and so forth. And so I thank God that the Holy Spirit has had a part in everything, in every phase of our Christian experience and Christian life and down through the years. The Holy Spirit has come. And notice, we find that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal so many things to us, truth and knowledge and wisdom and power and so forth. How wonderful that you and I can have so many wonderful things. And some of the great work of the Spirit of God we find again in Matthew's gospel. And I'd like to just notice that just for a moment there in Matthew's gospel, the very first chapter, and you'll find something about the Holy Spirit hovering over Mary. I'd like you to notice it, will you please? There in Matthew's gospel, the first chapter in the 20th verse, and notice, but while Joseph, in other words, here's who we're talking about, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us there. And so how wonderful again we see, and also in Luke's gospel, and the same thing, 1:35, we'll find something else that I believe is interesting to us too. 1:35 in Luke, notice these words. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, talking about Mary, talking to Mary now, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
How marvelous, how wonderful that we find, my dear friends, that the Holy Spirit had a part in the very birth of Jesus.
Amen.
In the very birth of our Savior, the birth of our blessed Lord.
Amen.
And then notice, now, friend, now that's not all that he has a part in while Jesus is in the world in connection with Jesus. Notice Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16. And find there these precious words there that I believe would be interesting to you and me tonight. 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him.
Amen.
there at the very baptism there. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." How marvelous, how wonderful that the Holy Spirit has had such a part in every phase of the work and all of the kingdom of God. But notice again, I'd like for you to notice even more, and how wonderful in Luke's gospel again, 4th chapter and 18th and 19th verses, we find these precious words. Notice, will you hear? "And the Spirit of the Lord," Jesus is talking, he says, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Not was, not will be, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Notice, "because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Amen. Then somebody says he didn't preach. The Holy Spirit has anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor.
Yes, amen.
Now that's one of the, I'd like to stress that word. I thank God for the privilege of my dear friends of preaching to the poor.
Yes,
and I'm not saying tonight that you're poor, but I thank God I've had that privilege through the years. And I never turn man down. I don't care whether he has a nickel in his purse and ever will have a nickel or not. He's not going to be turned down in the church I'm preaching in. God have mercy upon us. I'll tell you right now, Jesus didn't turn him down.
No.
The Holy Spirit anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
To the poor. And how wonderful. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." How wonderful. That's the thing that Jesus came for, and the Holy Spirit anointed him.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit came upon him. And he says, he told us very plainly that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And how marvelous and wonderful. My dear, why? Why all of this? Why all of this? God loves us. Christ loves us. The Holy Spirit loves us. And that's his business in the world. Because he loves the world. He loves you and me. Oh, the love of the Spirit tonight. And notice how marvelous and wonderful is the love of the Holy Spirit. And so we find here that as he comes into the world, he comes, my dear friends, for a twofold purpose. One is to convict the sinner and to help save him, or lead him to Christ, and then to comfort you and me, and to help us, bless us, lead us. How marvelous and how wonderful that the Holy Spirit. And so we find in the language of our scripture that we read a moment ago here, how the Holy Spirit is going to come. Why? Because Jesus is going away, and Jesus is pleading and praying the Father to send him another comforter for you and me. And my dear friend, how could he comfort you and me? He could not comfort you and me unless he loved us. You can't comfort anybody unless you have some love for them. I could never come and comfort you unless I had love for you.
Amen.
Unless I loved you in my heart, I couldn't comfort you. Oh, I might come and do something, but a cold, chilly, well, yes, I'll do it. But with a spirit of antagonism, a spirit of hatred, it wouldn't be any comfort. You'd say, well, I just rather you wouldn't have come. Wouldn't be any comfort in that. And so thank God, my dear friends, that one of the first things that I noticed that the Holy Spirit has come into the world, he loves us, and he came to comfort you and me.
Yes,
he came to help us. He came to sustain us. He came to give us comfort.
Amen.
Oh, how marvelous and wonderful there that he says that he is our comforter. He is our comforter. And more than that, oh, how wonderful and how glorious it is. And we find in Acts, the 9th chapter, in Acts, the 9th chapter and the 31st verse, how precious are those words there that I'd like for you to notice tonight. 9 and the 31st verse. Oh, if you and I could just see all of these things. "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. That's what he came for.
Amen.
To comfort the church, to comfort the people of God, to help us. Amen. In a day of troubles and trials and tribulation and sorrow and grief, a time of disaster and a time of sickness and a time of grief. Our God sent the Holy Spirit. Our Christ prayed for them to come, that we should have another comforter, because he couldn't be with us in person. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, he will send another comforter. Ah, how wonderful that he can comfort. And then I'd like for you to notice how he's going to comfort. In Isaiah, the 66th chapter and the 13th verse, we find the picture of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. How marvelous that God is even looking down through the years and telling you and me something about the comforting of the Holy Spirit. Way back there, he says, as one whom his mother comforteth.
Amen.
As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you.
Amen.
Ah, did you see that picture? And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Talking to God's people. And giving the suggestion and giving the point and giving the idea there of a mother. That the Holy Spirit is going to come as a mother to her baby.
Amen.
As a mother to her little child.
Yes.
As a mother would with the arms of love to her own little ones there, and taking them in her arms. So the Holy Spirit is going to come into your heart and my heart, into our life, and to help us and to comfort us. Friends, what more comfort can you have? And how beautiful is that picture? How many times have you seen it, and have I seen it? There, the mother in the middle of the night, in the darkness of the night, there, a little baby starts to scream and to cry. Mother runs to the little baby.
Yes, amen.
Oh, I've tried it, but it didn't work so good with me. I don't know, but mother could come.
Yes.
And take that little baby in her arms and just up against her breast there and begin to love and kiss it and say, and begin to talk to it and say, Mama loves you. Mama's got you now. And first thing you know, the little baby is back asleep again, away from its dream or whatever with its trouble. Mother's comfort. Oh, how precious it is that a mother can take her little babe and comfort it. How wonderful, my dear friend, when the mother's love can heal a brokenhearted. I shall never forget when my two boys here were younger, especially. One of them would get hurt, and they would run to mother, or they'd come to me, and I don't care where they were hurt, I could kiss them, and I could kiss that place, and they'd jump down and run and play. I told them, I said, you didn't know I could heal, did you, like that? Just with a little kiss, and the baby was healed. Oh, but that's the mother's love. There's the mother's love, the mother's heart, going out to the baby. How wonderful, my dear friend. And my heart goes out to that baby that doesn't have a mother. How terrible, how awful. Yonder in that passenger car, there's a baby. Yes, there's a daddy there. He's got his baby. And the baby's screaming and the baby's crying. He walks the aisle with the baby. The people in the middle of the night, and one man cries out with an oath, why don't you give that baby to the mother and stop the crying? And the man broke down and went to crying, and he said, I only wish I could. But the mother is yonder in the baggage car in a casket. And then the man, it broke his heart. And he said, Mister, I'm sorry I said anything. He jumped up and grabbed his clothes and got out of the bed. And we said, well, let me help you with the baby then. Let me help you with the baby. And at last, finally, the baby was calmed down, back asleep again. But oh, my dear friend, there it is, crying for the mother's love and crying for the mother's comfort. Oh, if the church today, if God's people today could be so hungry and so compassionate and so loving, so desirous of the presence of the power of God and his comforting presence.
If you and I could cry out today for the Holy Spirit's presence, like that little baby can and does yeah. for its mother, thank God, we'd have a different church today. Yeah. We'd have a different church today. How that the Holy Spirit can come and can take you into his arms and fill you with his Spirit and with his power and with his presence against any condition or against any troubles. Friends, that's what God would long to do even now. He would long to help you and me because of the fact he loves us. He wants to give the very best, the very highest, the very greatest. He wants to give all he's got to his children. And so I thank God tonight, and how wonderful it is to know that the Holy Spirit, my dear friend, loves us. And he's concerned about us. He's interested in you, and he's interested in me. And I would to God tonight that you and I can see it. Oh, he's the only one. And I thank God that he can. And we can see it yonder in Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 18th and 19th verses, especially the 19th right now. We'll come back to the 18th. Ephesians 5 and 19. I want you to notice what the Holy Spirit is going to do. You and I can talk and we can pray and we can do a lot of things. But my dear friends, you and I have no song in our heart until really and truly, until the love of God comes in through the Holy Spirit power. When the very love of God comes into our soul, thank God. I don't care how dark the night. I don't care how much trouble there is. I don't care for the sorrow. I don't care how deep the trouble and the persecution may be. Praise God. When the Holy Spirit's power is in our heart and our life, we're filled up with Jesus, filled up with the presence of God. Praise the Lord, we can have a song in our heart. I'll tell you right now, we can have a song that will melt the world, melt the hardest hearted child and son of God. How wonderful, as we see it there, here in Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 19th verse, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'll tell you why, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the presence of God, he says. And so how grand and glorious it is that our God can put a song upon our hearts, a song on our lips in the darkest hours of time. How glorious. Dr. Truett tells the story. And in one of his books of his own experience when he was a boy, 6 years of age, yonder around the far side of his mother home. And how that there. Mother would day after day in the kitchen, she'd working in the kitchen, and how she would cook and wash and iron and tears rolling down her cheek, but she is singing. And then finally she'd go to crying. She'd cry, she couldn't sing for crying. And then after a while she'd walk out yonder to a little grove of bushes out there, crying her heart out. She just cried so much she just had to stop walking, washing and working and go out there. He said they watched her many a time. Said she'd just keep crying and crying, and finally she'd go out there and said directly she'd come back singing. No more tears. The song had driven the tears away and her heart was with joy. He said he couldn't understand it. He said his brother couldn't understand it. One day they said they agreed that they're going to follow mother. They went with her. They followed her. She went into the bushes while they ran out to close by. And they listened. And they listened. And said, one of them whispered to the other and said, Mama's talking to somebody. There's somebody else in there. Here, Mama's talking to them. And about that time, Mother began to cry out and said, I want you to bless my boys. And began to name them one by one. I want you to just fill them with thy spirit and thy presence and help me to train them up and help me that I might live before them. She just kept praying for them and they didn't understand it and they jumped and run. They jumped and run. But it wasn't but just a few moments till mother come to the house just a singing the most wonderful song. She was just happy in her heart. Why? The Holy Spirit could put a song in her heart. because he loves us. Because he loves us. He's able, my dear friend, to stand by us and to put a song upon our lips and in our heart. And you and I can go home, go back to our work. We can go down the road singing and making melody unto the Lord. How glorious, how precious and sweet to know that we have a comforter, the presence of the Holy Spirit, a comforter that you and I cannot understand sometimes. We maybe don't know, but thank God he's ready to comfort us. He's ready to sustain us and help us. And how marvelous and wonderful when you see that man or woman that's been convicted of sin. And oh, I've seen them come under such deep conviction, come a screaming and a crying down the altar. And thank God they found Jesus. The Holy Spirit filled their heart. Amen. And praise God, they could jump back. I jump up and run. I shall never forget a man in Frisco, Texas. A man came to Frisco, Texas when I was yet a boy, old enough, young man, supposed to have been at least, and in my teens. And this man came in there to make a balloon ascension, or five rather, to make five balloon ascensions, one every Saturday for five Saturdays. I'll never forget it. But oh, he was such a profane man, curse and blaspheme the name of God. How terrible it was. But my dear friends, I think I've told you, so forgive me for referring back to it again. But there he was, and he could just stand there and curse God. And one day they asked him how it was that he could go up in a balloon, that kind of a man, and cut himself loose, knowing that he's going to have to come down. Oh, he said, that's no trouble. And he just began to curse God and shake his fist up in the heavens and then reach up, he says, and pull the string. Oh, how terrible. But I saw that man, to make a long story short. I saw him in the Baptist church night after night for two or three nights at least. And then one night I saw him come to the altar, hobbling on one knee pad and two little crutches. He'd broken his legs, one above the knee and one just below the knee. And so here he come on that little knee pad and two little crutches, just a hobbling down the altar, a crying, and I'll never forget it. And then he jumped up after he was there just a few moments. He jumped up and made a break back in the audience and jumped up on the pew and put his arm around a friend of his and brought him to the altar. And he came to the altar rather. And he put his arm around another and he came to the altar. And I think it was six men, if I can remember correctly, that night that man brought down or was caused to come to the altar and accept Jesus Christ. And that man went out of that service that night. You talk about somebody full and running over. That man was shouting, praising God to the housetop that night when he left the Baptist church there in Frisco, Texas, to go home there that night. I tell you, six souls to his credit. And there's a man filled with a song upon his heart and filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? Nobody ever heard that man curse again. Nobody ever heard him say anything about God in the rough kind of a way. He was praising God from there on out. He left that town. That, my dear friend, when Reverend Evangelist Fryer left that town, he went with him. Brother Fryer took him as a personal worker. And he was a personal worker for Brother Fryer for a long time. Winning souls! I'm just saying tonight, my dear friend, what the Holy Spirit can do for you and for me. How wonderful. Why? Because he loves us. And he loves Jesus. He loves God. He loves you and me. He's here to obey, to do the will of God. Amen. And to lead men and women, convict men, and to save souls and point them to Jesus and bring them to Christ. How glorious and wonderful, my dear friend. And yes, I could go on and on. And he's going to give us wisdom and going to lead us to the truth. And he's going to become our teacher. Notice in John 14 there and the 26th verse. Did you notice it? John 14, 26. Why, he tells us so plainly there that he's going to be our teacher. And he's going to explain to us and show us the way. Oh, how marvelous that he is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, going to teach us. Going to teach us. Be our teacher. Friends, I need a teacher. How could I do anything without the Holy Spirit? Why, no one, my dear friend, can understand the Bible. I'll say today, no one could ever understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can get a few of the mechanical facts. We can get a few of the teaching of the mechanical way. We can't understand the truth of it until the Holy Spirit comes into our life, into our heart. Until we know God is our blessed Savior and our Father. Did you know that the world, the man can't understand the Bible? He can't understand the real truth. He can't grasp the real spiritual truth of it. He just can't do it. Did you know that? Did you know it? Why? Well, maybe I should call your attention to it. And just to tell you there, if you and I just notice in 1 Corinthians, and I believe it's the second chapter in the 14th verse, if I'm not mistaken here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so he cannot know the truth until he's been saved. Let me illustrate. He's on the outside of the house. You go up, and I've looked at houses. Even over this town, some. But I've looked at houses and places over the country. I walk up to a house, and I'd go to look at it, and I'd kind of peek through the window, but I couldn't understand much. I didn't see much. I didn't understand but just a very little about the house. Why? I couldn't get in. I couldn't go on the inside. I was locked out. But one day, a man came along with a key and opened up the house, and I walked in. Well, praise the Lord, I can begin to understand. I can begin to see the house. I begin to know a lot of the truths, a lot of the things about the house. And so that's what it is. My dear friend, when you get on the inside, praise God, then you can know it. Then you can understand. Then you can have an experience. And so it is with a child of the world. He can't understand the things of God until he gets on the inside. Gets on the inside. And so, hallelujah. I'm glad, my dear friend, that you and I can. But notice, will you please? Oh, he's going to help us. He's going to teach us. And he's going to show us and love us. How marvelous, my dear friend. More than that. He's going to, I want you to read Romans 5 and 5. I tell you, we just can't pass it by tonight. We've read it time and again. But we just must read it again tonight. Romans 5 and 5. Because why? Well, because of the truth of it. Because of what it really is. Notice what he has to say there. Romans 5 and 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's what he's here for. To comfort us and to give us what we need. He's to be our doctor. He's to be our guide. He's to be our comforter. He's to be our teacher. He's to be our helper. And praise God, he's to be our power. I'll tell you right now, how wonderful, my dear friend. Why? Because he loves us. He wouldn't do this. He wouldn't help you and me. He wouldn't be concerned if he didn't love us. I'm talking about the love of the Spirit and how marvelous and wonderful that he does love you and me. How marvelous that you and I can know and see and understand some of the things of the Spirit of God. But that isn't all. I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit is ready and willing and will live in your very body. Amen. In this very fleshly body. Right here, if you and I will let him. Now, he's not going to force himself. He's not going to make you let him come in. But he wants to live in our very body. He wants to take possession of our body, just like you take possession of your automobile. He wants to have control of your body like you control your car. Just exactly. He wants to control your eye. He wants to control your mind. He wants to control your thoughts, your tongue, your hands, your feet. He wants to control your body. He wants to operate it. He wants to, my dear friend, to live in your body. But he will not force himself. He only wants to do it, and he will do it if you and I will let him come in and clean out. Come in and clean out. And let Jesus come in. If you and I are willing for him, he'll come in, praise God. He'll bring out the old dross. And he'll bring the blood of Jesus into our heart. And he will bring the love of Christ, the love of God, and shed it abroad in our souls. And drive out the old hatred. Drive out the old malice and the old sins of the world. Praise God. He'll drive out the old slime and filth and the old stuff of the rotten stuff of this old world. He'll drive it out, cleanse it out, and purify us, and make us what we ought to be, and sanctify us.
the service of God. Now don't get mistaken. I don't get mixed up on that word sanctify you. Don't get all wrong ideas. But praise God, if they're just as real. And what is sanctification? What is sanctification? Well, somebody says, well, it's purity. Well, yes, but it's more than that. I tell you right now, hallelujah, it's more than that. And the Holy Spirit is ready now to sanctify you and me. And you know what? You know what? I have something in my house that's been sanctified. And I tell you right now, I praise the Lord for it. I got a razor. A razor blade. And you know what? It's been sanctified. What? You say, could you? Yeah. It's been sanctified. It's been set apart for just one purpose. It's not made to trim your toenails with. It's not made to trim your fingernails with. It's not made to sharpen a pencil with. It's made to shave you with. And that's all it's made for. Made to shave. Set apart. And how is it set apart? Why, you go back to the beginning of that razor blade and you'll find that they took a certain kind of steel. They had to find a certain kind, and then they tested it, and then they heated it up, and they brought it out, and brother, they ground that thing out, and they had to prove it, and it had to be just exactly so. They had to purify it, too. It had to do all of it, but it was satisfied for a special work. Yeah. Praise God, my dear friend, every man that's been born of the Spirit of God and sanctified, my dear friend, by the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to say tonight, he's been set aside for the work of God. Set aside from the devil. Purified, blotted out, cleansed. And has, my dear friend, handed out to be used of God. To be used of God. Oh, if you and I, tonight, have we been set aside? Have we been sanctified? Have we been said, well, now here, God said, I want to cleanse you. I want to purify you. I want to use you. I want to use you. What is it? While Ephesians, I'd just like for us to turn back there at just a moment and get a little picture of what God says very plainly in the 10th verse. What did he say in the second chapter? Why, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That is, sanctified in Christ Jesus unto good works. Set aside, in other words, for a good work and to do something for God. And my dear friend, that's sanctification. Ah, hallelujah. Praise God tonight, my dear friend. I'm glad to say that's the work of what God's doing through the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. And you take a man or a woman that hasn't been sanctified, hasn't been set aside, hasn't been cleansed and purified by the power of God. That man is no good in the family or in the service of God. He can't be used of God. He just can't be used of God. Oh, God can't use him. Why? They take that razor, and the first thing you know, they look, and one man says, oh, here's a blade that's got a little chip in it, got a little nick in it. What is it? Throw it away. No good. Can't use it. There's something here. Well, I can't use it. Throw it away. Throw it away. Every now and then, just a few days ago, I noticed that where that a great automobile company, big automobile company, I believe it's Chevrolet, wasn't it, that ordered a great number of Chevrolets to go back to the factory. Some little something wrong. Why? They couldn't let it go out. They called them in. Ah, oh, my dear friend, listen, I'm saying tonight that God wants you to be holy, pure, and clean, washed in the blood of Jesus, and sanctified by the Holy Spirit, set aside, in other words, for the service of Almighty God.
Amen.
And not to serve the devil any longer. Not to please the devil anymore, but to please and serve our God. Yes, set aside. How glorious, how marvelous. Wish I had time to read all the scriptures that we notice on it here. But how marvelous, friend, that you and I can realize these precious words. And John 14:17, I'd like to come back again just there for one more. Then the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In your very body. In your very body. Why? Because this body, my dear friends, has been dedicated, has been consecrated. No, that should be true. But more than that, it's been bought with a price. Amen. Our God has bought it with a price. He paid for your body, your soul, and your body. He paid for it. And my dear friend, the highest price that's ever been paid of any ransom of all the universe, our God paid his son's blood to buy your very soul and your body. Notice, where do you get that at, preacher? Where do you get that? 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 19th and 20th verses. And I'd just like you to notice, will you please, those precious words there and how precious they are. And he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Amen. Bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to God. You belong to him now, because we have been saved. Christ has bought us and we have accepted him. He saved us and redeemed us. He bought us and paid for us. Praise God, we tonight belong to Jesus. We belong to him. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. We've been sanctified. We belong to God. And he wants to live in our bodies. He wants to control us, operate us, and live in us and through us. How wonderful, my dear friend. Yes, he wants to treat us as a friend, as a real friend. But how should we treat him? How should we treat him? Did you notice that? He's a real friend of us. He loves us. And he's doing all these things for you and for me. And now, because he loves us, what do we should do we do to him? What should do we do for him? Suppose you had a real special friend, an outstanding friend. And maybe he was an outstanding man, a woman, in the country somewhere, a great preacher, a great missionary, or somebody else great, a man, a woman. And he comes to your house. How would you treat him? How would you treat him? Would you say, well, we don't pay attention to that. We just go ahead and act. No, brother, I'll tell you right now, house will be swept and cleaned and garnished. I'll tell you right now, if you didn't think about it, and you're going to clean up and you're going to come in, you're going to give them the best bed, you're going to give them the best to eat, you're going to give them the best seat, you're going to give them the very best of everything. And brother, you're going to take out, when the preacher comes, so many people have done it. I've watched it. I've seen it through the years, and so many times I've slipped in when they didn't know it, and times they do it, and you know, they always want to get rid of the cards, get them out of the way, playing cards, and the gambling die, get them back, get them out of the way, hide them, and put the Bible on the table, and dust the dust off of it. Oh yes, I'll tell you right now, we're expecting the preacher to come. I mean, I've found people like that through the years, and oh, how terrible, my dear friend, that they have to wait till the preacher comes. But why would you treat the Holy Spirit? How would you treat him? The greatest friend, one who loved us, my dear friend, today, one who's done so much for us, and now he's living in our house. He's come to live in our souls, in our house. How are we going to treat him? How are we going to treat him? Are we going to mistreat him? Or we can. We can mistreat him. And I'll tell you, my dear friend, if you and I, if we don't listen to him, if we don't obey him, if we don't begin to please him, oh, he's going to be grieved. He's going to be grieved. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You and I can grieve him.
Yes,
okay.
Why?
I'm just wondering, you know, how many, even last night when we had a testimony meeting, you know, we can grieve him by not testifying. We can grieve him but not reading the Bible. We can grieve him but not praying. We can grieve him but not listen to him and going where he wants us to go to witness for him and to tell somebody else about Jesus. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve him. Oh, we can grieve him again. And somehow or another, when you get all filled with the Spirit and you feel like you just want to shout, you ought to shout. You don't.